As we come together this morning, my plan for today is to continue in this series that I've shared with you over these last number of weeks. The series is called There's a Redeemer. And as we began this series, we began back in the Old Testament with the book of Ruth, and we got to see the picture of a Redeemer. And I want you to think about that. It was a Redeemer for one woman, for one family. That Redeemer, of course, was Boaz. And the thing that we were able to do as we concluded that series in the book of Ruth, we were able to come to the end of the book and we were able to see the lineage of Boaz and how that led us up to the Redeemer being Jesus, the son of Joseph, the son of Mary, the son of the living God. And as we've looked at the Redeemer in the Gospel of John over these last several weeks, we have heard the testimonies, we've heard what people have said about Him, that He was the Lamb, that He's the Redeemer, that He's the Son, that He's Messiah. As we've looked at the Gospel of John these last several weeks, we heard John the Baptist say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We went with Jesus to the well and we were able to see Him talk to that Samaritan woman, a person that Jews wouldn't associate with. And she talked about Messiah coming and He said, "I am He." And she went away and she declared to others and she told them, "I have met the One who is indeed Messiah." Last Sunday, as we celebrated Palm Sunday, we were able to transport back in time and hear the voices of those crying out, "Hosanna, Savior and King." And whether they believed it or not, they said it and they drew attention to Him. And only one time in His ministry, Jesus allowed these public accolades to recognize Him as the Son of God. And as we shared the other evening for communion, we continued in the Gospel of John. We heard the words of Jesus Himself as he cried out to His Father and as he was honest and human as only Jesus was. He said, I must be lifted up. He declared that He would have to go to that cross. He would have to die a death there so that you and I might have life eternal. It was His desire that people would follow Him, that they would choose the light. Today, as we continue in this series, There is a Redeemer, my focus this morning is to see and believe. And as I shared in my prayer a few moments ago, we are going to go through John chapter 20, and we're going to go back to the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to walk alongside people who saw the risen Savior, and they believed. It wasn't that they didn't believe in Jesus before His death, but now they believe that He's been raised to new life again, and that's what we're here to celebrate this morning. We're here to celebrate the new life, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to go back and we're going to look at those people that saw it with their own eyes, they believed it in their hearts, and they told others about it. And that's what we need to do with this message we have today. We need to tell other people about the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We celebrate with those in Scripture today that they were able to see and they were able to believe. Let's go back to the beginning of John chapter 20. At the beginning of John chapter 20, and I'm not going to read all these verses for you this morning, but in verses 1 through 10, we go to the tomb and Mary is the one that goes to the tomb and she goes there and she finds it empty. And she leaves the tomb and she runs to Peter and John because she believes that someone has come and someone has stolen the body of Jesus away from them. And so she runs and she goes and tells Peter and John what she's found. And of course, Peter and John, they want to see for themselves. And so they run with her back to the tomb to see what this is all about. The disciples go, they look, they see, He is not there, just like they said. And you have to imagine what they're thinking, what they're feeling, what's happened. You know, it's bad enough that Jesus had died on that cross, but now in death someone has come and stolen away His body, and the disciples leave, I'm sure being dejected and depressed about what they've seen, but Mary remains. The Nelson Study Bible says, Mary Magdalene, out of whom Jesus had cast seven demons, was the last one at the cross, and she's the first one at the grave. She's the first one at the grave to see that the tomb is empty. She doesn't understand. She goes and she shares that with the disciples. They come. They leave her behind. And she's there weeping. Let's look at verse 11. In John 20, verse 11. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him. Now when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended. And say to them, I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. In an instant, everything changed. Mary stood there outside the tomb, peeking into that tomb. She sees two angels, and they say to her, Woman, why are you weeping? They've taken my Lord. I don't know what they've done to him. As she's looking into that tomb, she hears something, someone behind her. She turns and she looks, and she believes that it's the gardener. Sir, if you know what they've done with him, tell me. Tell me where they've taken him. In an instant, everything changes because Jesus says to her, Why are you weeping? And she still doesn't realize that it's him until he speaks to her and he calls her by name and he says, Mary. Mary probably wants to run and embrace him and hug him, but very quickly Jesus says to her, Don't cling to me. Don't cling to me, but instead go to my brethren, go to my disciples. Tell them that I am risen. Tell them that I am ascending. Tell them that I am going to my God. Tell them that I am going to your God. Mary sees. She believes. Jesus has risen from the grave. She sees, she believes, and what does she do? She goes and she tells. There's a lesson in there for us this morning that as we know about who the Lord Jesus is, we shouldn't just see him, we shouldn't just believe him, but we should go and we should tell others. Mary tells others. She goes to the disciples. I'd like you to keep your place there in John 20 because we're coming back there, but I'd like us now to go to Luke 24. Luke 24. Luke shares an example of Jesus being seen by a couple of disciples. Now, these are not, I don't think, of the 12. These are followers of the Lord Jesus. I don't know why John doesn't include this in his gospel, but it's really worthwhile for us to go back to Luke 24 and to see another example of on that day when Jesus conquered the grave, appearing to people so that they might see him, so that they might believe that he is risen. Again, we're not going to read all of this account, but the account really is one where there are two disciples and they are on their way. They're traveling from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and that's a distance of about 7 miles. In Luke 24, verse 13, Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. There's some similarities here between Mary's experience and the experience of these two disciples. These two disciples, they are walking, they are leaving Jerusalem after the events of Good Friday, after the events of Jesus' crucifixion. If these are disciples of Jesus, you have to imagine that as they're traveling here, as they're walking along, they're distraught over the events that have happened in Jerusalem. It says there, so it was, verse 15, so it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near them. I don't have to wonder about what they're talking about. They're talking about what has happened in Jerusalem. They're talking about the fact that Jesus was the one they loved, that Jesus was the one that they followed, and they can't understand it all. That they're probably conversing, they're talking about their hopes, they're talking about what they hoped that Jesus being there meant. They're probably also talking and sharing their disappointments. Disappointed that Jesus has died and disappointed about what are they going to do next, because when this is over, where do they go from here? And we read there that as they're traveling along, Jesus appears beside them. And did you notice what it says? And here's the similarity with Mary. Because Mary, when she was at the tomb, she saw that one behind her and she didn't know who it was. She believed in the gardener. And here's these two walking along, and it says there in verse 16, but their eyes were restrained and they did not know him. In their disappointment, in their conversation, they almost missed the risen Lord. As they continue down the road with Jesus by their side, and we're going to skip over some of this, but they say to Jesus, are you the only one around that doesn't know what's happened? Because Jesus, he's not talking about the events in Jerusalem. He wouldn't be, because the events in Jerusalem, they have changed. And here he is walking alongside of them. But they don't see him. They don't recognize him. Let's look at verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. They're focused on the cross. They don't know that the tomb is empty. And so Jesus begins with Moses and the prophets, and he begins to lay out the fact that yes, the one that came, he would be lifted up as he said, but he would also be lifted up and raised out of that grave. Now go to verse 30. Now it came to pass, as Jesus sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. Jesus preached to them. He gave them the word of God. And then they sat down to eat. Verse 31, then their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Now look at verse 32. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they had told about the things that had happened on the road, how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Everything changed in a moment. Everything changed in a moment as Jesus broke bread for them. Their eyes were opened, and as quickly as they saw Jesus, as quickly as they realized who he was, he disappeared, he vanished, he was no longer with them. And I really appreciate that verse there where it says to them in verse 32, did not our heart burn within us? They didn't recognize it at the time. But as Jesus walked with them and spoke with them along the road, they felt that same passion. They felt that same burning in their heart that they had felt whenever they were following after Jesus as He was teaching, as He was healing, as He was giving sight to the blind. But they didn't realize that that feeling, that sensation they had was because they were walking alongside of Jesus. Their eyes were open. They saw. They believed. They said that He is risen indeed. And they went and they told. You see the pattern here? The pattern is, it's not just about seeing and believing. It's about going and telling the good news that Jesus is alive, that He reigns on high. Let's go back to the book of John again. Now John chapter 20, verse 19. Because we're going to go now to Jesus' disciples. The 11. And these guys, we want to be hard on them and we want to say, well, what are they doing? Why aren't they out there looking for Jesus? But as we pick up in verse 19, we're going to see that, yeah, they heard. They heard that Jesus was alive, but they were scared. They were fearful about what this all meant. In verse 19, then the same day, this is the same day, resurrection morning, it's sometime in the day, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are then retained." The disciples gathered together in fear. And we think they should be excited. They should be out there, you know, pumping their fist and having a great time because their Lord is risen from the grave. They should be out there looking for Him, but they're in fear for what the Jews might do to them. Remember, the Jews not only wanted to destroy Jesus, but they wanted to destroy Lazarus because he had been raised to life. And the disciples probably feel like, well, what's next for us? But look at how the Lord Jesus comes to them. He comes to them in peace. We might think that He ought to come to them and chew them out a little bit because they're here gathered together in fear of what might happen. But He comes to them in peace. And if you look there in verse 20, it said the disciples, they were glad to see Him. They were glad that He had come. They were glad that He had arrived and He showed them His hands and He showed them His side. They had to feel great relief and joy and assurance for now they knew what they could do. Jesus was coming to give them instruction, and we read here in God's Word that He sent them. He wanted them to see Him. He wanted them to believe that He was alive, but He wanted to send them out so that they might tell the news that they served a risen Savior. Jesus, as He said to Mary, He was going to ascend into heaven. And when He ascended into heaven, it would be up to them to continue His mission and to share this good news. Jesus breathed upon them the Holy Spirit. Now we know what's coming in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit is going to come down upon them completely. But it's part of the fulfillment of that promise that Jesus had made to them back in John 17. In John 17, He told them that He would send a helper, that He would send one that would come alongside of them so that they could do His good work. And now He's breathing the Holy Spirit upon them as He comes in peace. It's part of the plan for that Holy Spirit to come, as we see in the book of Acts. So that those disciples would go and they would tell. That they would say, "I have seen, I believed, and now I want you to know too about who the Lord Jesus Christ is." Wow. What a morning. We heard that song a few minutes ago. Then came the morning. Then came the morning and Mary saw the risen Lord. Those disciples on the road, they talked to Jesus. The 10 that were gathered together in the upper room, they saw him that evening. Then came the morning. But Jesus isn't done. Because just as there are those who are going to see and believe, we remember that one who said, I'm not going to believe until I see. And we look at Thomas. And I fast forward a little bit now. I fast forward past that day to 8 days later. But I think we need to look at one who had some doubt, because you know what? Each of us as Christians, we experience doubt from time to time too. And we need to be reminded that even in that time of doubt, that Jesus is there to show us who He is so that we might believe. In John 20, verse 26, we read about Thomas. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them and said, peace to you. This is 8 days later. This is a long time based on the way events happened so quickly there in Jerusalem. Jesus' death, and then 3 days later, his resurrection. Now 8 days have passed, and in that time, Thomas had declared, I'm not going to believe unless I see him, unless I see his hands, I see his side, and I touch those things. And how does Jesus come again? He doesn't come to chew Thomas out for his doubt. He comes to Thomas and he says, peace to you. Verse 27. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. See, Thomas said, I'm not going to believe until I see. And Jesus gives him the opportunity to see, to touch, to believe. He says, don't be unbelieving, but be believing. And look at verse 28. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. He sees with his own eyes, and he declares now that indeed this is his Lord, this is his Savior. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. And as we begin to wrap up the message today, I want us to kind of focus here on the last part of verse 29, because this is where we are today. We're not going to physically see Jesus. And there are those today who would say, well, I can't believe it because I didn't see it with my own eyes. They're like doubting Thomas. They don't want to believe that Jesus was raised to new life. They don't want to believe that God allowed Jesus to conquer death so that we might be free from sin. But let's be reminded of what Jesus' words were. He looked at Thomas, who saw and believed, and he blessed him for believing. But look at what Jesus would say about those of us today. He said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And church, that's where we are today. We won't see Jesus with our own eyes physically. But what we have seen is we have seen the testimony of others. We've seen the testimony of Mary and those disciples on the road. We've read the testimony of those disciples in the upper room. We read about Thomas the doubter, and his doubts were assailed. His doubts were taken away because he saw the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. You and I may not see, but Jesus said we are blessed when we believe. Chuck Swindoll said, Jesus affirmed the disciples' confession of faith and responded with a blessing on all those who had accepted the truth of his resurrection because of faith in God's promises. And that's you and me. We are blessed because we believe in the promises of God rather than the physical evidence. The truth is, church, we don't have to see physically. We can see through the Word of God. We can hear those testimonies, and that's what causes us to believe. Each of our examples this morning, Resurrection Day, and then Resurrection Day plus 8, people saw, they believed, and then they went and they told. Mary left the tomb immediately. She went and she told. Those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, when Jesus left them, they went and they told. Jesus' disciples, Thomas, think about what they did. They saw, they believed, and then we read in the book of Acts what they did. They went and they told. They went and they shared the good news that Jesus was alive. Back in John 20:20, the disciples, when Jesus came to them in the upper room, they were glad that they saw the Lord. That completely changed, transformed their lives. They were in that upper room in fear. They went there not knowing how could he be raised to life. And he appeared and he blessed them. And he told them that they would carry out and they would fulfill his mission here in this world. They came to know that he was alive. Warren Wiersbe says about that appearance that Jesus came to them. He reassured them, he commissioned them, and he enabled them. Jesus gave them everything that they needed for what they would do next. They saw, they believed, and then they're going to carry out that great commission that he had given them to go and tell the world. The question for us this morning really is, what are we going to do with what we haven't seen? We haven't seen it with our own two eyes. But Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We may not see with our own eyes, but we can see from the Word of God. Are you going to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has risen from the grave? Are you going to believe that He is your Savior? And then who are you going to tell about it? We're not all called to worldwide missions. We're not all called to be worldwide evangelists, but we're called to tell people about the blessed hope that lives inside of us. Just as we walked in here this morning and we celebrated that today's a beautiful day in the Lord, we need to celebrate and we need to tell others that years ago there was a beautiful day in the Lord when Christ was raised from the dead, and all that changed and transformed mankind forever if we choose to believe that he indeed conquered death and rose from the grave. There's a Redeemer. We've read this morning about those who saw and believed. Do you believe? Will you share this message with others so that others might come to believe too? We've got a story to tell. The story to tell is about the Redeemer who lives and reigns forevermore. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and your truth. And Lord, we thank you that your word gives us so many things. We won't have the opportunity to see the risen Lord physically. But Lord, your word has given us tangible proof that one after another, after another, after another, they saw the risen Savior. Lord, I pray that you might take the evidence that's in your word today and remind us of the precious truth that he is alive. Lord, I pray that you would help us not only to believe that with our hearts, but to believe it in our minds. Jesus told us that we are blessed when we believe, even though we have not seen. And Lord, I pray that the blessings that you have given us, we might share with others a blessed assurance that indeed he is alive. Lord, as we pray here this morning, I just would put out a simple question to all who are here, and that is, what do you believe about the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Do you believe that he's just a fine man? Do you believe that he was just a good teacher? Or do you believe, as John the Baptist said, that he was the Son of God, the Lamb who came to take away the sins of the world? Do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ came to take your sins away this morning? Do you believe that just as Jesus conquered death, that he can conquer the sins that live in your life if you would just simply turn them over to him? Lord, I pray that on this resurrection day, that there would not be any soul here today that wouldn't really truly understand what the resurrection is all about. It is about the redemption that can come for the sinner who would choose to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, for those who already believe, make this a resurrection day for them, that they might be resurrected and reminded of the fact that, yes, indeed, Jesus did this for me. And Lord, for that one who may not yet have given their heart and given their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that even now where they sit, that they might just say, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned against you. I have sinned against your Son, Jesus. Come into my heart today. Help my life to spring forth anew and to know that this Jesus came for me, was raised to life for me, and has forgiven me of my sins. Lord, we thank you that the story of Jesus didn't end on a cross, but it began. It began anew on that morning and at that tomb when the stone was rolled away and the grave was conquered by him. Lord, thank you for your word and thank you for the testimony that was found there so that we might see and so that we might believe. And we ask these things in your precious name. Amen. And amen.